to our Lord. Today we're looking at abiding in Christ. And we'll be in John chapter 15. You know, Jesus taught and used familiar things to explain who he is and his relationship with mankind. It's very clear in the Bible that God wants us to know him. God wants to have a relationship with him. And he gave us several titles of who he is to help us to understand that relationship with him. We find those in the I Ams of Christ that are found in the Gospel of John. And those are listed in your handout this morning, and then we'll have them up on the board as well. Jesus says, I am the Messiah, or the Christ, or the anointed one of God. He says, I am the bread of life, our sustenance, the things that gives us life. I am from above, not from beneath. Jesus said, I am the eternal one. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Lord and Master. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Jesus wants us to know him. And he gives us all of these pictures of things that we can relate to, things that we can understand, so that we can understand God, so we can come to know God. Today we're looking at abiding in Christ. In John chapter 15, let's look at the first 11 verses. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning thanking you once again for this privilege that you've given to us to be in your word, to be able to take it in our hands and hide it in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity that we might abide in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Giving us that opportunity, that privilege. But Lord, help us to realize and understand this morning what that means. What it means to abide in you. Help us, Lord, and direct us in your word. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place and that you would speak to our hearts and that you'd be glorified and magnified. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The word abide is used 9 times in these 11 verses. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? He's telling us who he is. and he's telling us where we need to be. The Strong's information, I had have you put that on the screen. The Strong's word there, how it's spelled out. And the meaning of it there is to stay. The meaning of abide is to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, to stay, to anchor to not be moved. That word, meno there, is also translated in the English as continue and dwell, endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. So we find a description of what it means to abide. To abide in the vine. To abide in Christ. You know, Jesus tells us to abide in Him. To abide in Him, to remain, to stay there, to dwell, to be present, to stand in Christ. There's a reason for that. He stated in this text, for without me, you can do nothing. We need him. But what does that do? What does abiding in Christ do for us? What kind of things can we expect as we abide in Christ? Well, to abide in him makes our prayers effectual. They cause our prayers to have an effect. John 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Abiding in Christ. When you're anchored into the Lord, when your life flow comes from the Lord, when everything about you comes from the Lord, he flows through you. But the question there is, if we abide in Jesus, if we abide, are we still there? Are we living in Christ? Are we remaining in Christ? Are we living in Christ? Christ doesn't leave us. But sometimes we cut off the flow. Sometimes we allow things to hinder the Holy Spirit working through us. Because we must remember that He is the vine. The true vine, and we are branches of that true vine. We are not the vine and never will be. And how easy is it for God to trim the vine? How easy is it for us to go trim a branch off of a tree to make that tree more productive? We see that in this text, don't we? There's a purpose for us abiding in Christ. Our prayers can reach out. The Lord has really been working on me and I believe with our church about praying. And this verse again comes out in James 15 or 5:16, the last part of the verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He tells us this. To be righteous, we have to abide in the vine. We have to have His flow flowing through us. We have to have Jesus living alive in us. But we find as well that sin in the heart can hinder those answers to prayer. Sin always attacks prayer. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin is abound us, around us, all over the place. It jumps at us. It tries to distract us. It tries to break our vine with the Lord. So we must realize a consistent prayer life is important. Consistent prayer life. You know, I found in my own relationship with the Lord, my prayer life is probably hindered more than anything else, followed by Bible reading. And sometimes that goes back and forth. If the enemy can stop us in these two areas, he's got us. He has stopped the flow of God going through us. And what happens is we will not bear fruit at all of the Lord. We got to remember who we are, who the Lord is. Consistent prayer is important. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be high in anxiety. Don't let the cares of the world take you over. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And I want to stress with thanksgiving in there. So many times we run to God with our problems, but we need to run to God with our praise as well. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's amazing, these verses jumped up last week in our prayer meeting. Why? Because God wants us to know them. He wants us to not only acknowledge them in our head, speak them with our mouth, but he wants us to have them in our hearts. And when that happens, it will come out in our actions. Pray without ceasing. So we find abiding in Jesus, we have power in prayer. Do you want power in prayer? You can have power in prayer as a Christian. When Christ lives in you, you can have power in prayer. Without Christ, only power we get is asking him to come and live in us. He gives us that. But once he has done that, wow, we hinder, we limit God by not letting him have all of us. We limit our prayer because we don't give it to him. We must remember, without him, we can do nothing. Verse 5, for without me, you can do nothing. A branch cannot grow on its own. You go lop a branch off and sit there and hold it, is it going to grow? If you stick it in the dirt, most of the time it doesn't grow. What happens? It withers and dies. Is it going to bear fruit? But if you would leave it alone on the tree, what happens? It has the ability to bear fruit. That's what we are when we abide in Christ. We have the ability to bear fruit. Without him, we can do nothing. With him, things happen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My strength comes from the Lord. My power in prayer comes from the Lord. We think, well, I'm going to pray to the Lord. That's of me. Well, in reality, it comes through you from the Holy Spirit working in your life and surrendered life to God that allows you to even come before the Lord. It comes, we praise him because we understand who he is, because of who he explains to us who he is. Without him, we wouldn't know him. Without him, we couldn't understand him. Without him, we couldn't understand the words of the Bible. Without him, we couldn't understand our relationship or our purpose in life. Without him, we couldn't understand why he calls us together. With him, all of it makes so much sense. It's clear because when we abide in the vine, we're in Christ. And I can do all things through Christ, which is my sustenance, which is my strength, which life flows through to me. So then our strength as a branch comes from having a strong connection to the vine. As a branch, we want to be anchored into that vine. We want to be grown into that vine. And we want to be strong as a branch. Think about a tree growing. And when a tree is growing, there's always little branches coming out. And those little branches are weak. That's like a little Christian, a newborn Christian, starting out, growing with that little branch. How easy are those branches to break? They're easy. Someone could come along, a little kid could come along and jump up there and grab that branch, and it would break off, and it would bend over, and then that branch would wither and die. But what happens if that branch stays attached to the vine or attached to the tree? It gets bigger and stronger and longer and more productive. And it bears fruit. And it grows and gets bigger and stronger and becomes anchored into the base, which is Christ. Our lives need to be just like that. Our strength as a branch comes from having a strong connection. That connection is where our salvation starts. Where we are put into the vine. We're no longer ours, now we're Christ's. We're in Christ. And being in Christ, we can bear much fruit. We can abide. We can live in Him. How does that affect our prayers? When you have the flow of the Lord flowing through you, you have direct access to God through Christ. That's awesome. Direct access to the Creator, to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. What hinders our prayers? We do. To abide in Him, to live in Him, to remain in Him, our prayers are effectual. Number two, to abide in Him makes our fruit perpetual, ongoing. You know, have you ever had a fruit tree that one time it bared fruit? I've had it for 35 years and I had fruit on it once. You know, I've got an apricot tree near our house. It's kind of like that. And most of my life, I didn't even know it was an apricot tree until my mom and dad pointed it out. It was somewhere they threw seeds out there, and it grew. But in the past few years, it's been getting a little more water, so it looks like an apricot tree. But it don't produce apricots. It looks like an apricot bush, a big apricot bush. What it needs is some attention, and it needs trimmed up. But you know what the Lord does? His purpose is to bear fruit. And we as branches in the vine are there for that purpose. That fruit should hang off of the branches. It doesn't hang off of the trunk, does it? But if it weren't for the trunk, there wouldn't be fruit. So it takes the vine feeding and nourishing the branches to bear the fruit. We have a purpose as believers. What does that mean? Look at this verse, John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Our bearing fruit brings glory to God. When you look at a fruit tree that's just hanging out with fruit on it, does it make you just feel good? It does, doesn't it? It's doing what it should be doing. It's productive. It's growing fruit. And we as believers are to be that same way. We should have God's fruit hanging off of us everywhere, so that when people look at us, they see the fruit of God. There is a guarantee here of continual fruitfulness if we abide in the vine. Look at these verses. Again, back in John chapter 15, verse 15 through 17. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father, ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Our fruit is to remain ongoing. I love flowers that keep flowering. I love tomato plants that keep blooming and blooming and blooming. Why? Because it's ongoing. It's continually bearing fruit. It's showing me there's one ready to eat and there's one just starting out. We are chosen to bear fruit. We're chosen of God to bear fruit. And this fruit will remain. This fruit will continue in the vine. Because of the vine. But we must realize in our own lives that this includes the fruit of the Spirit as well. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruits of the Spirit. Do you look in the mirror and see the fruit of the Spirit hanging off of you? Do you look at other people and see the fruit of the Spirit hanging off of them? We should. God explains to us very clearly what it is here. Love. Do you see the love of God? Not just any kind of love, but the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that comes from God. Godly love. Godly joy. Godly peace. Godly long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are things that should be ongoing in our life. Well, I once was long-suffering. I bore that fruit once, but no more. No, that's not the way it works. In Christ, it's ongoing. It's perpetual. We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit as believers. And it's pretty amazing because, you know what? Like a tomato plant, you don't get apples off of it, or apricots, or grapes. But we have the privilege of bearing much fruit and varieties of that fruit. Only with God. But this fruit also includes fruitfulness in witnessing, bearing fruit, causing others to grow. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Once we have Christ, or we're in Christ, and that flow comes through us, it causes things to happen. It causes us to be a witness for the Lord. It causes us to talk about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done. And that bears fruit. Then other people hear, you know, part of the reason for fruit is to bear seed, to cause more growth And as the seed of God goes out, and last week I talked about spiritual farming and planting seed. That seed needs to go out, doesn't it? We have that opportunity to bring forth much fruit. And as a branch in the vine, we are to bear much fruit, not just a little bit. When you go out in the summer and you look at that fruit on that tree and you see it, what a blossom. It was smelled so good and it was so pretty and smelled so good with all the flowers on it. And then the next step is that little fruit starting to grow. And you go out there and you look at that little fruit coming and you think, oh, it's going to be lots of whatever this year. Whatever that fruit is, there's going to be lots of it this year. And you wait patiently for it to grow. It's not an immediate process. It takes some time. It takes some nurturing. It takes the nutrients from the ground flowing up through the tree into the branches, out to the littlest parts. It takes the Word of God, it takes God Himself flowing through Christ and the Holy Spirit working in our lives as believers, coming out to our littlest parts to cause that fruit. Patience. He can do it. But along comes a bird and starts causing problems. Kind of like life. Sometimes we have problems. It comes and pecks at the fruit or makes a mess out of our vine. The purpose, again, is to bring glory to the Father. Who do we represent? Who are we abiding in? What is our purpose in life? The third point is to abide in Him makes our joy full. Everybody likes full joy. It means to be joyful. Right? Joyful. Full of joy. Everybody's so joyful this morning. Are you awake out there? Joyful. Do you know what that word means? It's not something that I can cause to happen in you. It's something that comes through Jesus Christ up into you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. To abide in Him makes our joy full. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. That remain, that abide, that the joy of Jesus Christ would remain in us and cause our joy to be full. In other words, we'd never run out ongoing, continual. How many of us are continually joyful? I understand that. But you know what? We can be. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Him in me. Like I keep saying, it is us that hinders it. It's our lack of surrender, our lack of yielding to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, that hinders these things. I use the phrase often with grumpy people or people that are upset. You know, no one can make you be that way. Because so many times we blame it on somebody else. Well, so-and-so did such and such. And I'm grumpy. And I deserve to be grumpy because of the way they are. No, you're not. you deserve, as a believer, to bear fruit of the Lord. Your flesh wants to be grumpy, but in the Spirit, we're Christ. And it is the love of Christ flowing through us. How do I know that? Because I've been grumpy. And I've been that one saying, I deserve to be grumpy. I don't like what they just did. You know what? We have to come to a realization that God is God. He is the true vine. And we can yield to Him. It's a choice. We need to yield to Him. Would you cut off a branch that's just flourishing? No, you wouldn't. We can be flourishing. Joyful? Are we joyful? He said in this verse that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. What do we have to have to have fullness of joy? Christ Jesus. His joy in us, remaining, abiding in us. So living in Christ brings joy. Yeehaw, right? Living in Christ brings joy. When was the last time you thought about your life in Christ and that got you excited? Made you happy? Think about it. Think about the last time you got excited about the Word of God. Something He showed you in His Word. Something that just amazes you every time you read it. Makes you laugh, makes you chuckle. Something that happened, somebody you got to talk to. The joy of the Lord in our life. Living in Christ brings joy. And Jesus poured that out for us. He showed us. You know, it's not always about the things going on in our life, even the things that we're going through. We can look through that, past that, onto the Lord, the things that are out there around us. Satan tries to get us to only see the things right in front of us. Let me show you a verse here. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did Jesus go through? We've looked into that many times. We've studied that. We understand the torture that He went through as best we can. Who for the joy, the Bible says, that was set before Him. Wow. What was the joy that He was looking at? You. You are that joy. He went through that for you and for me. That brought joy to Him. So the things we go through in this world, look past them. Look at the seed that's going to grow. Look at that plant that's going to grow because you gave the Word of God, because you spent time in prayer, because you committed yourself to the Lord, serving in the church, doing what He says. Yeah, it's hard. It was hard for Christ to go to the cross. But He did it. He is our example. Who for the joy that was set before Him, what is the joy that's set before you? Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He is my strength.
What we find is Jesus demonstrated heavenly joy.
Heavenly joy. I'm not talking phony, fake, portrayed. I'm talking about real. Fruit of the Spirit, joy. goes through all that mess that's in the world. It can't stop it. As hard as Satan attacks, he can't stop God. And it is Christ who lives in us. Greater is he that is in you as a believer than he that is in the world. And greater is he that is in you, that is flowing through you and working through you and bearing fruit through you as you live in this present world. Paul and Silas demonstrated joyfulness when they were in prison. They had been beaten. They were in jail. They were in stocks. Hurting, no doubt. Uncomfortable, definitely. They had the right to be angry in man's eyes. What were they doing? Singing and praising God in the middle of the night, in prison, in the stocks. That's the joy of the Lord. You know, believers are earth's example of heaven's joy. You as a Christian, you as one who has received Christ in your life, is an example of heaven's joy. Because we get to bear fruit. And that fruit, one of them, is joy. And realize this. Others can see where your joy comes from. When you're going through these things in this world, and you do it with the joy of the Lord, others can see that. That may be the one thing that changes somebody else's life. Is them seeing you bear the fruit of the Lord in your own. So why should we be abiding in Christ? What should we do? What does it do for us? In this section it says, abiding in Christ so his joy might remain in us. Do you see that word remain? That it might remain in us. Be there all the time. Abide in him. That his joy might remain in us, and abiding in Christ, that our joy might be full. It brings forth this fruit. As we abide in Christ, you will bear the fruitfulness of joyfulness. Jesus said this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, thank you once again for providing for each one of us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we might have life and that we might have it eternally. That we might have life and live it right now. That we might bring forth much fruit. For the intent of bringing honor and glory to God. Lord, you know us. You know who we are. You know our name. You know the hairs on our head. You know what disturbs us, irritates us. You know what we need in our life right now. You know all things about us as an individual. And Lord, you want us to know you. and to understand you. And you, because of that, have sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to bring restoration and fellowship with you, to be called the children of God, to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that each one in this room would look into their life and ask themselves, have I asked Jesus to be my Savior? Have I asked Jesus to come into my life and save me? And for all of those that have, they can go to a spot when that took place, a time in their life where they started to grow as a believer. For those that have not, Lord, there is that desire and wonder about what that really means. And Lord, I pray for both, those that have and those that have not, that each one would come to that point of realization with you and grow from that point on. Those who have not been saved, those who have not received you, that they might. And those that have, that they might grow and bear much fruit. Lord, I pray your Spirit would move freely among us this morning, that you would work in our lives, that you would help us to yield to you, that you would help us to allow that flow that comes through the vine to the branches to flow freely. And that the fruit that is produced would again reflect and bring glory to the Father. Work in our lives here this morning, Lord. Again, you know each one of us. You know what we need as an individual. Let us yield that to you. Let us surrender to you. Let us get our life where it needs to be with you. Let not the things of this world, the attacks and the ideas and the lack of morals of our world hinder it. Let us yield to you now, right here in this place, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, for providing for each one of us, giving us each one the opportunity to abide in the true vine. Your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. Each one. Let us now grow closer to you from this moment on. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This music.